So I'd like to introduce our next speaker. She's just a fantastic woman of God, leading our pregnancy networks, like really around the country and really making a big impact, especially in Chichester and the surrounding areas. She is married to an okay guy called David Thompson. And so can we give a massive Grace Church welcome to Ali Thompson.
Thank you. That was a little bit scary. Right. It is very nice to be here. It's great to see you all. I'm going to talk about Gideon today, and I apologise in advance for doing that, in the sense that I know that actually Pip did that 3 weeks ago, spoke on Gideon, and that kind of fills me with both that kind of terror and excitement thing of... That's really good, because God obviously wants us all to hear about Gideon and how scary, because I'm sure she did a brilliant job and now I've got to compare. So I think actually it just means that God has got a lot for us, in that there is more to learn. And I think one of the things I really felt in bringing this was that actually this is Gideon's story is so representative of my story. In not that I did great things in a nation, but that actually God used somebody that really didn't make any sense at all to do something amazing because of who he is, not because of who the person was. So I just would say I've been a Christian 25 years, which feels like a really long time, by the way. But actually, so much has happened. And what I keep finding is that God just keeps saying to me, fabulous, well done for doing that thing. Now I want you to do the next thing. And the next thing is always the thing I can't do. And I keep seeing that happen. So when I'm going to talk about Gideon, I'm going to just draw that out, those principles of when God deals with us and what that feels like. If you've got a Bible, turn to Judges chapter 6 and 7. If you haven't got one, do stick your hand in the air and somebody will come and give you a Bible. If you haven't got a Bible of your own, do keep it. It's a gift from Grace Church. So we're in Judges 6 and 7. There are three things I really want to focus on in the talk today. One is the priority of relationship. The next is the problem of resources. And then finally, partnership gets results. The context for Gideon was that the Israelites, this is an Old Testament story, so the Israelites were the people of God, and they were going through a cycle, a 500-year cycle of God talking to them, and then them disobeying, and then they were ruled by hostile nations, so then they cried out to God for help, and he rescued them by sending a godly man or woman to lead them. And then they were okay for a little while, and then they sinned again and disobeyed God and back round in the cycle of being oppressed. So we find Gideon in the middle of this cycle. So reading from Judges 6, verse 1, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountains, clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They, the Midianites, came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Let's just stop there for a moment. So in the Old Testament, the people of God had a repeated situation where being oppressed and needing to fight was a very physical phenomena. Everything they did was very physical. They fought other nations. Well, obviously for us, that's not what we do. We don't have physical fights. It's more symbolic for us. These images we have from the Old Testament are symbols. So for us, the oppression and the fighting is something that we do, but we do it, we fight sin, we fight evil. So we have battles in our lives, and we can draw on the principles of what God is doing here with Gideon to understand how we battle and how we have victory. In verse 11, this is God's answer. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." That's quite an opening event, isn't it? Because, so an angel of the Lord appears, declares him to be a mighty warrior. The angel of the Lord here is actually Jesus. It's a theophany. It's an appearing of God in human form. And sometimes in the Old Testament, God did that, and he did it as an angel. So here we have Jesus coming and meeting personally and powerfully with Gideon. Okay, if you click on that, that'd be great. And actually what he says is, you're a mighty warrior. Now, as we will go on and see as the story unfolds, that's actually a very odd thing for him to be saying to Gideon at this point. Gideon says to him, well, pardon me, my lord, but if you are with us, as you say you are, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Gideon replied, okay, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign this is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. So let's just stop there for a moment. The priority of relationship. Okay, so there's this massive thing going on in Israel, and they need a massive rescue. And Jesus prioritizes relationship. He doesn't just prioritize some enormous, massive blasting of the enemy. He actually comes and speaks to Gideon. Jesus comes to where we are. That is what he does. He knows exactly where we are at all times. He knows where to find us. It doesn't matter what we're doing or where we are or who we are. And here we see Jesus just sitting down. I love that phrase. He came and sat down under the oak. It's so relational. It's so relaxed. It's so intentional and close and also quite confrontational. If Jesus comes and sits with you, that's quite up close and personal, isn't it? And that can feel quite awesome in its own way. Gideon probably had 1,000 thoughts all at once. what does he want? What's he going to say? What's he going to ask of me? Why is he talking to me? Imagine that if that was you. What would you want to say? What would you want to talk about? What would you be scared of or hopeful of? Well, this is what Jesus is like. This is one of the reasons why I follow him, because this is exactly what he's like. He comes and finds us. He talks with us. It's personal. It's not about what we achieve or what we've done or what we can say, oh, yeah, look at me, I'm great. Actually, it's about a close relationship with Jesus, and that's his priority in any dealings that he has with us. The next thing that happens is that Jesus reminds us of the truth. When he talks to Gideon in verse 12, he calls him a mighty warrior. and I think this is one of the sort of the classic lines in the Bible, isn't it? He sees somebody who's hiding and terrified and just trying to stay off everybody's radar, just trying to stay alive, trying to feed his family, not looking for anything, thank you very much. And actually he says to him, you're a mighty warrior. So what is God doing there? Well, he's stating the truth. He's stating what's already true and what will be true. It's truth and prophecy combined. It's who God, who Gideon is and who he will be. And when Jesus talks with us, he'll often remind us of that. He'll remind us of truth, that we're created, that we're loved, that we're wanted, that we're cherished, that we have a purpose and identity, that there's something in that whole encounter with Jesus that will be based in the truth of who he is and who we are, and a prophetic of what we will be. In verse 13, we see that Jesus also lets Gideon respond in his own way. He allows us to be us. When God deals with us, he doesn't require us to be something other than we are. And when Gideon is having this encounter with Jesus, he just comes straight back with, yeah, but if all that was true, what about this? What about this? Where were you? I think you've just abandoned us, actually. I'm not sure that your version of reality is actually right, if I dare say that. And actually, that's fine. Jesus is allowing that conversation to happen. Gideon is open to Jesus and willing to dialogue. He has serious questions. He's not arrogant. He's not self-important. He's very humble before God, actually, but he knows his questions are valid, and they are valid questions, aren't they? If Jesus says to you, I've always loved you, and you can say to him, well, yeah, but have you seen my life? Which part of that did you love me in? That was quite hard. And it's okay for us to have those kind of conversations with God. He doesn't require us to pretend to be something different when he talks to us. So Gideon's response is great. It's raw, it's honest, it's direct. And Jesus allows us to be us. Let's have sincere dialogue with him. Gideon understandably sees his life from his perspective, and we do as well, don't we? When we're talking to God, we will always first and foremost see our life from our perspective. When I read this, I do wonder if it was the first time Gideon actually really met God, and he doesn't say, is it in the scriptures, but he clearly knew a lot about him, but I don't know if Gideon had met him before. And maybe that's you. Maybe you know a lot about God. Maybe your friend's been talking about God and you're here to kind of find out, is there really a God? Is he really trustworthy? Maybe you've been brought up in a Christian home and it's everybody else's faith but not really yours yet. When Jesus talks to us, it's very personal. And I just encourage you, wherever you are in your journey, there are no questions barred. Just be yourself and be open. In verse 14, we see Jesus' response to the questions. And he basically doesn't answer them in a way. He just sort of paraphrases and says, yeah, I understand your questions, but you know, I'm here now. We're going to do this together. From God's perspective, it was kind of already a done deal. He was calling him Mighty Warrior because he knew that's where this was going. He was inviting Gideon into a partnership, into a relationship, a combining of Jesus' commissioning with Gideon's obedience, and that would make Gideon an unstoppable force. And actually, that's true for us. It's a done deal, because when God's asked you to do something, he'll equip you and resource you and make you into everything you need to be to do it. Gideon's view hasn't changed at this point, of course. He still sees himself as he sees himself, which is weak and pathetic and without any hope. I would say that there are so many examples in my own life where this has been true, where God has said, do this thing. And I've said, no, let me do this. I'm really good at this. And he said, no, do this. One of the things was many years ago, not long after I became a Christian, I felt God say to me that I should become a counselor. And it was the complete opposite to everything that was in my character. So I told a couple of close friends who were also Christians. They just laughed. And they said, you might want to go and pray about that because you haven't really been a Christian for very long. I'm not sure you've really heard God. And I said, well, yeah, I get what you're saying. But honestly, I think it is. I told David, and David did that thing where he just like put his head on one side. He's not a man of many words, is he, David? So he just went, really? So I was like, yeah, well, I know you recognize that, right? Yeah. And you know there's a whole stack of words behind that, don't you? And I thought, oh, this is bad. So I had no idea why God was asking me to do this thing. It did not fit my character. It didn't fit my gifts, my strengths, my personality. But I knew he was asking me to do it. So my step of obedience there was actually just doing an introductory training course. I signed up for a 6-week course. That was the beginning of my journey. I didn't at any point say, yes, I'm the right person for this. Actually, I thought I was the wrong person for the wrong job. But actually, when God asks you to do something, in the end, I think you'll probably find you do it. That began my journey into being a trained counsellor and then having the privilege of leading centres in Winchester and then in Chichester. And the reason I say that is not to boast, other than to say, that was God. That's a God thing, that he took the person who couldn't and made them the person who could. Not to build me up, but other than in my faith, which it did. And to be, I think, a demonstration that he cannot use anybody. It actually is just about believing him. He's faithful and strong and loving, and he knows what is possible through obedience. And I think that's the thing. We look at ourselves, even each other, and go, no way. But actually, what God is saying is, yeah, but through obedience to me, we can do this. And this is what Gideon was about to discover. So in verse 15, this is Gideon, of course, and he's saying, what? You're crazy, man. No, this can't work. I'm the least. And then he kind of maybe feels like he needs to spell it out to God a bit. I'm the least in my family. I'm with the least clan in the whole of Israel. Like, I'm the smallest of the smallest of the smallest, okay? So I think maybe you've got the wrong Gideon. He's completely incredulous. But Jesus doesn't really answer the fears at this stage. What he does is he gives assurance of the outcome. which I think is amazing. And I think, again, that is something I recognize. There have been so many times when I've said to God, okay, I could do this, but I actually don't know how. I need like a breakdown of what I do and how I achieve this. And he pretty much has never given me that. Normally he just says, well, I've asked you, so just go do it. And actually, this is what he does for Gideon. He just gives an assurance of the outcome. He says, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites. You will leave none alive. Now, remember, that was physical for him, but obviously for us, it's symbolic. We don't strike anybody down. But actually, what Jesus says to us is, I'm with you, and we're going to do this together, and you will be victorious. So for us, it's about tackling obstacles and strongholds and stumbling blocks and barriers. And we have those in our lives all the time. This is about taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. It's about being transformed by the renewing of our minds and walking faithfully with God in the things he's asked us to. It's about not backing down when things get hard. And they do. It's about partnering with God, going in the strength we have and making good things happen in a broken world. We've been called into an amazing partnership with Jesus, and victory is possible with him. And actually what this does with Gideon when he starts to talk to God is it inspires worship, because he suddenly clicks, oh my goodness, this is God, and we're going to do this, and I'm with God, and he's going to do this in me. So we see Gideon come to Jesus at this point and just say, okay, can we just stop everything? I need a time out. I need to worship, because I don't really understand what's going on here, but I know that you're God. So he says to God, can you just wait here while I go and get my stuff? And the go and get the food and drink, that's what they did in that time, in that culture. That's how they prepared worship for God. I love that. And what does Jesus do? He says, okay, I'll wait. And I'll wait for you to get back. I love that. I think that's amazing. This is the God of heaven and earth. And he just waits. He waits for Gideon. He knows that Gideon needs time with him. And he does that for us as well. This is a brilliant picture of Jesus. He is the God of heaven waiting for you and me. He's intentional. He's patient. He's loving. He's relational. He builds relationship with us. He's not in a hurry. He's not pressurized or distracted or panicking. He wants time with Gideon. And that's an amazing response, isn't it, in God, that we ask him for something and he says, yeah, more than you'll ever know. I want to give you my time. He wants relationship, adventure. Sometimes things can feel really horrible, can't they? You have that sort of slow motion car crash feeling where horrible things are happening and you're out of control and you can't stop them happening. Actually, even then, I would say, take time to draw near to Jesus, and he will draw near to you. It's a promise. Maybe like Gideon did, you feel hostility building up around you. Maybe you're fearful, maybe you're weak, maybe things are just getting complicated. Take a few minutes to draw near to him. We use Freedom in Christ discipleship material here, and it's a lovely set of statements of truth. And it's a lovely way to just build faith and reassurance and peace. And actually, Jesus does the rest. Actually, when we worship him, it's his job to sort everything out, and we can let him do that. So back to the story. Gideon, in verse 21, has brought the food and drink as his offering. So the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was an angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die." We see here Gideon is asking God for confirmation that this is really God. Because this is a big thing, it's a big ask of Gideon, isn't it? Trust me in this and see if I will not make everything great. Actually, Gideon needs to know that this is God. Because only God is worth obeying. Only God is worth the sacrifice that obedience requires. Only God is powerful enough to compensate for all our weaknesses anyway. And only God can bring success in the things that he's called us to. So Gideon needed to be sure. He brings worship and Jesus responds powerfully and immediately as fire flares up from the rock. Jesus knows that we need reassurance and confirmation. He knows that we need to know it's him. So he will always meet with us. He'll answer our prayers. He will confirm his calling to us. In verse 25, we get the first command of what Gideon needs to do, his first step of faith. And it's a bit of a weird one for us, but I will explain what it means. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the bull from your father's herd, the one that's 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal, cut down the Asherah pole beside it, and then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Verse 27, so Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the day. So Jesus' command is to Gideon is again a very physical command. It's go and tear this down and build this up and offer an offering. What he's saying is to walk away from false inherited worship. He's saying walk away from the things that are not right. Don't build your life on things you've inherited from the past, but actually build something new and right and godly. For us, it's about walking away from things that are damaging or untrue. We all, you know, we grow up believing things. You may have grown up believing that you're weak or useless or unimportant or even unintended. These are lies. That's not true, because before God, you're always intended and you're always important and you're very strong because you're strong in Him. Maybe you've been taught that financial success is everything, or material possessions or educational achievement is everything. And we've just come out of the A-levels and GCSEs and AS results season, hasn't it? Haven't we? And it's just so strong, the pressure to measure your marketable value on your GCSEs and things. It's a horrible pressure, and it's not true. These things are great. Education and money and stuff. I love stuff. Buying stuff's great. But that's not what it's about. That's not where life is. And it's so important we don't worship these things and think that's where we're going to bring life. So we can walk away from things that are not true, that are damaging. Only God is unchanging and eternal. So we base our security, we build our life on Him, on His word and His character. Jesus was asking Gideon to make a stand for what was right. We're called to do the same, to build our lives on God's word, to build an ever closer relationship with Him as our Father. So what is God asking of you? There may be something He's asking you to walk away from, or to build, or to just not be involved with anymore. He may be asking you to depend on a certain part of His word or His character for this season in your life. Gideon obeyed Jesus, but he did it in the dark because he was scared. And I really like that about Gideon. You know, he wasn't a mighty warrior in his own strength. He was just doing what God had asked him to do, and he did it in the bit that he could manage. And that was enough. He did what he was asked. He was scared. He was undercover, but he did it. And Jesus was looking for that. It was a measure of faith equal to the measure, sorry, a measure of obedience equal to his measure of faith. So if we look at the verse 33, just to move on, all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So this is all the enemies coming. Then the Lord, Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. So this is now gathering the Israelites. He sent messengers to Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they too went up to meet them. So what we see here is that Jesus is anointing Gideon. Where it says the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, he's anointing him, he's equipping him, he's empowering him, he's getting him ready with the strength that he needs. He didn't wait until Gideon was a fully fledged warrior. If you notice, nothing had changed in Gideon other than he'd been very scared at night and broke down one altar and built up another one. That's it. He wasn't suddenly battle ready and eager. Jesus was looking for a measure of faith. That's all. All he was asking is that Gideon would do what he'd asked of him. And when he did that, he poured out his anointing. That was the key. That was what was waiting for. It wasn't for him to become somebody different. When Jesus addressed Gideon as a mighty warrior at the beginning of the story and commissioning him to defeat the nation's enemies, he wasn't demanding that Gideon suddenly acquire invincible strength or fake his abilities or live to an impossible standard. He wasn't saying, become this person that I've called you to be and do it without any input. All he was asking was for Gideon to go in the strength he has. In verse 35, we see that all the Israelites start to arrive. And I think Gideon must have been astonished at that. He must have thought, oh, I didn't think anyone would ever pay any attention to me. This is awesome. And we know from the story that 32,000 of them arrived. So he must have been really, really excited at that point, thinking, oh, I think maybe this is going to work. We might have a hope. About 3 years ago, I felt God asking me to set up a national charity, which Chris referenced in his introduction. It's the idea is to network. There's about 100 pregnancy crisis centres across the UK, and we wanted to network them all. And I felt God was saying to me to set up a national charity to do that. And I thought, no. And so for a few months, we had this kind of conversation that went something like, Ali, I want you to do this. Me going, no. So it wasn't a very long conversation, but it happened quite a lot. And eventually I thought, actually, this isn't really the way of faith, is it? So I gave myself a bit of a talking to and decided, okay, Lord, I will, but you need to give me the first step because actually I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. I'm the wrong person doing the wrong job again. I have no experience, no qualifications, no ability. The one thing this job required was to be a strategic thinker on a national level. If you know me, I have no strategy. I don't have a strategic bone in my body. I have a lot of things. And I kept saying to God, look, I can do so many things. You give me 20 years of experience. There are so many things I could do. Why don't you give me one of those jobs? Why are you asking me to do the thing I can't do? And it's like, oh, yeah, that's what you do, isn't it? I remember now. That's how God does stuff with me. He might not do that with you, but he does it with me. And it dawned on me, okay, that's what we're doing again. We're doing another one of those. So actually what I did was just talk to three specific people that he asked me to talk to. And that was fine. They were absolutely terrifying people, but I did do it. And we fast forward and we've got a charity. And there is a board of people that now run it. And I'm on it, and that's brilliant. And the reason I'm telling you that is because it's another example of what God is like. He'll just takes the things that are not and causes them to nullify the things that are. That is my strap line over my life. So when God asks you to do something, he will equip you to do it, regardless of what you look like or feel like. And actually with Gideon, the same thing was happening. I always find with these experiences that you get out the other side of it and go, that was awesome. I'm so glad you did that, Lord. That was amazing. Let's do it again. And then the next time he says, do you want to do it again? I think, no, I really don't. So, and I think probably if we'd met Gideon again, we might find he was a bit like that. But anyway, so the thing is, it's an upward spiral. God knows that we gain our courage incrementally, that we grow in confidence bit by bit by bit. And it's an adventure, and lots of people in this church will have the same story. I've got, that's my story, you will have a lot of your own, I know. The good news for Gideon and you and me is that Jesus looks for a measure of obedience in accordance with our faith. He says, go in the strength you have, and that means knowing who Jesus is. That's it. That's the strength we have, isn't it? Knowing who Jesus is. We have the freedom to get it wrong, and he restores us. It's brilliant. It's such an amazing way to live life. He says, I know you're weak. It's like, you've got this much, I need this much. Tell you what, you bring this much, I'll bring this much. Okay. And that's where the miracles happen, when you see God doing work that you know, and maybe only you will ever know, but you know only God could have done that. So what happens to Gideon? Well, in chapter 7, verse 1, so we're moving into the next chapter, God then reduces the 32,000 to 300. I think at that point, I would have gone, okay, God, I cannot do this. I don't know. It doesn't say what Gideon was thinking. But you've got to ask, what was God doing? Why did he move everything away that would have been so useful to have? The problem with resources is they come and go. And I think for Gideon, that would have been really confusing and really painful. Have I done something wrong? Have you taken all this away for a reason? Are you actually going to just lay me out there for a mauling? Why are you taking away the one thing I need, which is an army to fight an army? In 2 years ago, in summer of 2014, I was still leading the local pregnancy crisis centre at that point. We found ourselves through no fault of our own, as far as I could see, with no money, no premises, and no clients. Quite a small charity. And you've got to ask yourself the question, haven't you? What are you doing? Why are we doing this? Are we supposed to close? Have we done something wrong? What does it mean? And it was a really tough time because on the one hand, all the signs were, pack up, go home, love. And on the other hand, I was thinking, but my calling, the passion I feel for looking after people in these situations hasn't got any less. In fact, it's getting more. And it's a really weird time. What we felt eventually was we really needed to, as a team, just be called back to, it's just prayer and worship. Because, to be honest, there comes a point where you think, what else is there? I haven't actually got anything else. Like I said, I'm not a big strategy person. So quite often when things are a bit weird, it's like, well, should we pray? Because that's all I've got. And actually what we did was we went through a season of prayer and worship. And God has then brought us into, as a charity, an amazing season of growth and expansion. It's been absolutely unprecedented. I've not seen it like that in all the years I've been involved. So God did a rescue and it was brilliant. But actually losing those resources was really, really hard. When God takes resources away, he's doing something. And we've got to stay in conversation with him to find out what. So what was Gideon? What was God doing with Gideon? Let's find out. Verse 8, the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, go up, go against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. However, if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they're saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. Now, this is the enemies, okay? So this isn't the Israelites. This is the enemy people. I had a dream, he said. A round loaf of barley came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. Now, his friend, also one of the enemy people, said, this could be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into their hands. That's amazing. What was God doing in the minds of the enemy to make him think that? So when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. So here we find Gideon. He's lost the one thing that could make a difference, which is an army. It must have been so confusing. But actually, Jesus was adjusting Gideon's focus. He let everyone, including the enemy, see that none of the outcome was about Gideon's strength or resources. It was all about the God in whom he placed his faith. Gideon was being challenged not to rely on the resources, but to rely on Jesus. But Jesus also knew that Gideon was afraid. So he knew what Gideon needed, and he took him into his confidence, and he let him see. It's that prophetic, that edge, that insight of, okay, I'm going to let you see something of what's coming because I think it will build your faith and I think it will give you reassurance and comfort. So our resources can become weaknesses. Yep, thank you. Bizarrely enough, the strength of our resources, you'd think that would be a good thing, and it is good, but they can become a weakness. They can become a weakness if they become more important than God. If we start to rely on them, if we start to draw comfort and security from our resources, if we start to idolize them and think this is what makes life work. Without these resources, my life would not work. Now, if we start thinking these sort of things, then actually our resources are becoming more important to us than God. Jesus knew with Gideon that if the army was big, the Israelites would think they'd done it all in their own strength. They wouldn't realize it was God. The size of the army would have been a weakness to them. It's bizarre, isn't it? But that's how it is sometimes. We actually start to rely on our resources more than on God. Instead, Jesus calls Gideon back to worship. It's important that Gideon is at a point where he is worshiping God and not the army before he goes into battle. Perhaps this is where you are. Perhaps something's going on with you. Perhaps resources are dwindling somehow. And it's really painful. And I'm not being glib about that because I know it is. But actually, if something's happening, it's not a punishment. It's an adjustment. It's a call back to worship, a call back to being with God and letting him do the things that only he can do. And when we focus on Jesus, it means we get the benefits of partnership. So God does not need us. He can achieve all his goals in an instant. He literally spoke the universe into being like that. So he doesn't have a plan and then think, oh, I can't do anything until that person. Oh, it's so frustrating. Actually, he just goes, you know what? I have an awesome plan, but I want to include my child in it. So come on, let's do this. And that's how he partners us. Jesus chooses to partner with us. He chooses to involve us in a stronger, closer relationship, like a father with a child. He builds our identity and our confidence and our sense of purpose. He teaches us to be everything that we have the potential to be. And that's what this is about. This is about Gideon really getting hold of who he was in God and who God was. And that's what it's like for us. So when he partners with us, we get enormous benefits. We place our confidence in God and in his word. We know that, I mean, with Gideon, he was given the prophetic insight. He was given that reassurance. He was reminded that this was Jesus's battle, that Jesus was going ahead of him, and that he only had to be faithful in the thing that God had asked him to do. And that's what it's like with us. It's not about us. It's about who sends us and who strengthens us and equips us. It's about being in partnership with Jesus. It's about whom we're in partnership with. So you're allowed to be you, I'm allowed to be me, and it's in God's grace that he uses us, and he uses us mightily. Jesus wanted Gideon to experience what it was like to be with Jesus. He didn't have to go and talk to him. He didn't have to call him. He didn't have to go through everything he did with Gideon. He did it because he wanted Gideon to know what it was like to be in relationship with him and to experience victory. Verse 21, while each man with Gideon held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. Now, at this point, all Gideon had done is blown a trumpet, shouted, and broken some jars. So as a kind of a military strategy, not good. But it worked because of who had told him to do it. And God had gone ahead and put fear into the enemy. So when we're with Jesus, we experience victories. We see that Jesus is Lord. And that is what God wants for us. That is why I follow Jesus, because it's so exciting and it is an adventure and it's terrifying at times and it's confusing at times, but it's relational and it's exciting. When we give our obedience to a faithful, sovereign, loving God, when he is the focus of our worship, nothing is impossible. Okay. I'd like to pray. If the band could come up and play something in the background, that would be really helpful. Thank you. What I hope has happened today is that you have a sense that two things, really. If you're in a battle, if God has asked you to do something, he's asked you to step out in faith, he's asked you to be something that you're not, that you will know that he will come through for you. And that's what I want to pray, that if you're struggling with a lack of resources and watching things happen that you think this can't be right, that I want you to know that God is with you in this and he has a plan for what's going on. So I'm going to pray for that. And I think if also for those of you who would actually just love to hear a Gideon call, maybe you've had these kind of adventures in the past and think, oh, I'd love to do that again. It sounds good. Or maybe you've never had that. Maybe you don't even know God and you're thinking, well, this is a bit interesting. I don't know if I'm interested. Maybe I will. Actually, for you, I just want to pray also for you that you will know the call of God on your life. You will know something new and exciting. Shall we stand? Yeah. Lord, I just want to bring to you all our hearts. Lord God, you know those of us for whom today is a hard day. Lord, you know the things that you're asking us to walk into. Lord, you know if you're putting a call on us that is really, really difficult to obey. Lord, I thank you that you have a purpose and a destiny for each one of us, that you absolutely love us, that you are absolutely trustworthy, and that you are powerful and mighty. Lord, I want to lift those to you today who are struggling, Lord, who need courage, who need reassurance, who need a prophetic insight into what's happening and what's coming. Lord, I ask you to meet with people powerfully, Lord, lovingly, Lord, that you would draw near to those that need you to draw near. Lord, for those who are seeing resources disappear, Lord, would you bring peace about what you're doing? Lord, as they humble themselves before you, I pray, Lord, would you pour out your goodness, pour out your anointing on them, Lord. And Father God, just pour out your plan, Lord. Do the rescue, Father God. And Lord, I just pray for those who are hungry for that adventure. Lord, hungry for something new, hungry for a calling. Hungry just to meet with you, maybe for the first time. Lord, I pray, come and meet with them, Lord God. Come and give them what they need. And Lord, would you blow their mind? Lord God, would you pour out your love, Lord God? Would you pour out your anointing? Lord, would they just get so wrapped up in how amazing you are, Lord God? Would it just change everything? Father, as we just give ourselves into your hands again today, Father, just thank you. Thank you that you are an amazing, sovereign, loving, faithful, faithful, faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen.